and welcome back to the Offspring Magazine, the podcast. It's Bea, and I will be hosting today's podcast. Today, we will be releasing the Instagram Live that we recorded 2 weeks ago with Lynn Key from the Open Science Working Group of the PhDNet. As you can guess, today's episode will be about open science, specifically what the Open Science Working Group is doing to promote open science within the Max Planck Society. We will also go into detail about the Open Science Ambassadors Conference that they are currently organizing for early career researchers such as postdocs and PhD students. And this Open Science Ambassadors Conference will include talks, workshops, roundtable discussions, all about open science. So listen in to get all the information about the Open Science Ambassadors Conference that you want. With that, please enjoy our episode with Lynn Key about open science. Why don't we just start by having you introduce yourself?
My name is Lynn Key, and I'm a PhD student at the Max Planck Institute for Security and Privacy. And on the side, I'm also part of the Open Science Working Group, which is within the Max Planck PhDNet as well. And because some of the open science stuff might be related to what I'm knowledgeable about, I did my undergrad in psychology, and then now I'm in more of like human-computer interaction and computer science. So just in case if anyone has any questions about like other sciences when it comes to open science, most of my perspectives will be coming from, the psychology and like computer science part.
Yeah, that's really cool. So why don't we just start by having you define what open science is and why open science is so important?
So open science basically refers to the process of making the research process much more transparent and able to be reproduced, and to help facilitate for stronger science overall. I'll start off with what it is. Open science is basically just this umbrella term, and it also includes things like open data, open peer review, open methodology, and open source as well. And it basically refers to different aspects of the research cycle. So there's open data. So this is the act of making research data that's open basically for other people to see and also edit and add on to if they need. And then repurpose for their own uses as well. And then there's also open methodology. So this would be in papers. This could include things pre-registering a study. So for example, in psychological studies, you could experiment planned, and it's showing to the world, these are my hypotheses, this is what I'm gonna do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then just in the paper writing itself, just making it more transparent, just telling people enough information that if someone wants to replicate your study, they have enough information to.
So I'm just gonna ask you a quick question about these open methodologies. So there, do you think that research papers right now don't give enough data as to how they've done an experiment, or maybe their thought process to it, their hypotheses, for example?
I think I can speak to more of the, what I'm doing in my PhD is more in the human-computer interaction space. I think there, I haven't had many issues. I think it really depends on, in computer science, it really depends on the field. So I know in human-computer interaction, reviewers are very keen on having quite a lot of information in the methodology that people can replicate it. However, I do know that in other fields, especially other computer science fields that are trying to do more user studies and stuff, sometimes a complaint that's often repeated is that sometimes there's not enough information given, because these researchers aren't trained necessarily in human-centric research methods to kind of know you should report the sample size or the participants and stuff like that.
So we have open data, open methodologies. Right. Didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh yeah, no worries. There's also open source. So this is the process of for more computer science, or just if you have code or something, just the process of making your code readily again, like available for other people to see and add on to as well. And then there's also, I believe, open peer review. So this is the process of trying to make peer review a much more transparent process. So this would mean, for example, I guess like when a paper is published, making the peer reviews public as well for other people to see. And
So the peer review comments.
Yeah.
You mean? Much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me just check if there's anything else I'm missing from here. But yeah, I think those are what I have on my notes
right,
for like the different,
right.
Yeah, before going to every.
Right. Okay. So now that we've established what open science is, I think that's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I guess, a way to make science more transparent in every single way. Mm-hmm. What is the working group doing? So specifically the open science working group to kind of help promote open science.
Yeah. So the open science working group, what we're trying to do is to increase the, increase the knowledge of open science especially amongst early career researchers within Max Planck Society, and then also to help facilitate knowledge sharing as well, especially trying to increase knowledge about open science. Depending on the different fields and all, like open science and like different aspects of it are not so well known. So we're trying to work from kind of like the ground up, like starting with like the early career researchers, so like PhD students and postdocs, and trying to increase, discussions and just like knowledge about open science from the ground up, and then hopefully just show that it's that we care about it, and then hopefully this gets spread out to to higher up within Max Planck Society, and then to kind of create more institutional change, just like from the bottom up.
Right. So what is the Max Planck Society trying to do to promote open science?
I think that we've had very good interactions with the general administration with the Max Planck Society. It seems like they're very keen on promoting more open science. So we've had quite a bit of support. So for example, the Open Science Ambassadors Program, we're getting a lot of help from the Max Planck Digital Library. And then also recently as well, the vice president of Max Planck Society also started organizing the Open Science Panel. So this is where different stakeholders from Max Planck Society come together to discuss open science in the present and kind of the future as well. So they gave early career researchers 3 seats, I believe, in the panel. So like for PhDNet, which is taken by the Open Science Working Group, and then there's also PostdocNet, and then an Open Science Ambassador as well. We've gotten quite a bit of support from them with like promoting open science.
So I guess though the support that you've gotten is promoting open science through communication,
mm-hmm.
right? So are there also certain actions that have been taken to help promote open science?
So one of them would be, the thing that we're planning right now is the Open Science Ambassadors Program. So this would be a much more, this event would be in person as well. And we're trying to create, trying to get more people from different institutes like to work together and share knowledge about open science, and then also to get more resources about open science across the institutes, and that's like the more tangible way of spreading the word about open science with us.
Okay, since you've mentioned open science the Ambassadors Conference
mm-hmm.
numerous times, let's just straight away go full deep into what exactly it is. Because I think that's one of the reasons also why we're having this podcast is to promote this event, to make people aware of this event. So why don't you just start by telling us what it is, when it is, give us all the information.
Yeah, so the Open Science Ambassadors Program is this event that we're planning. It is an event, it's a 2-day event, so it's 19th and 20th of September. It's going to take place at Harnack House in Berlin, and basically we're going to have at least
Okay, wait, let's slow down. Let's give the date again. So that is?
19th and 20th of September.
Okay.
Let me just double check, actually.
Good.
Yes, 19th and 20th of September.
Everyone can write that down, take notes.
Yeah.
Berlin.
In Berlin, that's right. And yeah, it's going to take place at the Harnack House as well, so that'll be very cool. It's like one of the historic Max Planck buildings that they own for like different events and everything. And yeah, So it's going to take place there, and the plan is to have at least one open science ambassador or representing each institute within Max, within like the Max Planck Society. And the idea
So your aim is to have one person from each institute
come
to represent their institute at the conference. Mm-hmm. And this student or this person can be anyone, or preferably a PhD student or a postdoc.
Yeah, our focus right now is on early career researchers, so this would be postdocs and PhD students. Although the funding for PhD students is guaranteed, and then if you're a postdoc, I think you just have to have approval from your institute to give you travel funding.
Okay.
And yeah.
We have a question for Palina, and she or he asked, does the MPG Open Science have their own Instagram or Twitter account?
Sadly not. I believe we're mainly posting with the Max Planck PhDNet. However, we do have a website. I believe it's again like with the Max Planck PhDNet, but if you could just like Google us, we do have our own website.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wait, I'll repeat that question in case people didn't hear. So this question was about whether the Open Science group has an Instagram. But they do have a website, so that's
right.
That's good.
Yep.
Okay. So going back to the Open Science Ambassadors Conference mm-hmm. then. So we said one PhD student or postdoc would kind of represent the institute at this conference mm-hmm. In Berlin, and maybe they could get funding for it. Do you have to apply?
Yeah. Okay. So again, this would be on the Open Science Working Group website, where you can just find the link to our Open Science Ambassadors program. And then there's an online form that you can fill out to apply and attend.
So who decides then who gets to attend? Like, what if you have multiple PhD students?
Oh, that applying? Would be wonderful. Yeah. I believe, actually, that's a good question. I think I'll have to follow up at some point if this does happen. But I've heard that we are open to having more than one attend. I think it's just like it's just an issue of funding, and you might just, it might just have to be that like they just get funding from their group or their institute to attend.
Makes sense. Yeah. So then what is the conference about once you get there?
Yeah. The plan is to have this 2-day kind of like casual event to have. We're going to have a mix of lectures from different different aspects of open science, and then we're also going to have some more like hands-on workshops, and then also more roundtables as well to have like more open discussions about open science in general. So I guess with the speakers themselves, we've invited speakers, and like some of them are like researchers that are researching or like conducting research in open science.
Okay.
And then we also have people who are like open science activists and stuff like that. And then we also have workshops. So these are much more hands-on, like how to apply open science to your discipline. And then we also have some social events planned as well. So yeah, it's a mix of like fun and also like work and like getting to know other people at other MPIs and everything.
So what is then the... Oh, sorry, is there a question? Yeah.
Actually, you already explained something, and we have a question. What is the agenda of the conference? Does someone have to present some poster or something if they would like to join?
Okay, so what is the agenda? Is the agenda maybe online already?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so where can they find the agenda?
Yeah, just go on the Open Science Working... just, like, Google the Open Science Working Group, and then it'll probably be, like, the first... recommendation.
Google search,
Google search.
I guess could you find it on the PhDNet website?
Yes, I believe you can.
If you go to the PhDNet website, Open Science Working Group, and then you should be able to find the agenda there.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll have it. We have a separate website though for the Open Science Ambassadors program, but we have like a list of the confirmed speakers and like the registration website as well. Oh. And so
do you already know? I mean, obviously the event is in September, mm-hmm. but do you already know actually the exact agenda that maybe you could also talk about now?
Yeah, I don't know the exact agenda now, just because we're getting some speakers and some workshop presenters prepared and everything. But it seems like right now we do have a mix of some confirmed speakers, like I mentioned, and then like the workshops and like a roundtable.
And the social events, very important.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and people don't have to present a poster, no. It's more of just like attending and then getting to know other people and then just getting people pumped up for open science, basically.
could they present a poster? Like, could they, would they have the opportunity to if they wanted to?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think we have that in the agenda right now, but that is a good, that is
maybe
a good
just
option.
Like over, yeah, like an hour over lunch or something.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And so then what would be the aim then? So you have, you know, all these different PhD students come together to talk about open science, mm-hmm, and you have one PhD student kind of representing each institute. And then is it your vision kind of that they go back and then talk to their institute about open science practices?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly the vision. It's to have, basically to start facilitating these conversations, because we found that different MPIs have different levels of knowledge with open science. So with some MPIs, like open science is a very hot topic almost. Like there are different committees like that just naturally formed, and people are much more aware of like different open science practices. Whereas in other MPIs, it's much more of a like people don't aren't as aware. So we're trying to kind of make things a bit more homogenous when it comes to open science, and just making sure that people have some sort of knowledge. And yeah, with the open science ambassadors, the plan is to have someone who can kind of represent their institute. So like if other people from their institute have some sort of open science related question, like for example, like if they're in biology and like because there are other MPIs that also have like biologists as well, the idea is to have some sort of like communication. So like this ambassador could then communicate with another ambassador from another like biology, yeah, MPI, and kind of share knowledge like that. So yeah, and then also trying to come up with this like pool of resources as well that other researchers can refer to as well if they ever have any open science related questions or concerns.
Okay, so by going to that conference, you basically become the open science ambassador for your institute. Yeah. And if anyone has any questions, I guess you're the best person then to go to. So have you done an open science ambassadors conference in the past?
Yeah, we've had a few in the past. Although in previous years, it's been a bit shaky just because of COVID and all, but I believe this is our first, I also just joined the Open Science Working Group this year, but I do know that it's happened in the past, and yeah, I believe this is our first at least our first in-person, I believe, in like a couple of years. So yeah, it's very exciting.
Okay, cool. So then specifically also about open science practices at each individual institute, because obviously when you work in different sciences, maybe the way you approach open science or how open science is within that science is different. Like you're talking about computer science, mm-hmm, but maybe for chemistry, for me, yeah, it's completely different, mm-hmm, and different practices are needed, different conversations are needed. So mm-hmm, when you go to the Open Science Ambassadors Conference, how do you also ensure that you kind of can talk about open science related to your specific field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. So we're not fully done with preparing the open science workshops and everything, but I think that's actually something I'll bring up with the Open Science Working Group as well, as trying to facilitate more conversations. And I think with the current agenda, we're also trying to do that as well with like the different roundtables as well, and then trying to bring in different trying to bring in like different speakers with like relating to different fields.
Yeah, different backgrounds, exactly.
But yeah, but I think that is a very, yeah, good point. And I think we should perhaps add in a bit more like field specific stuff as well for the ambassadors program.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so accommodation, is that also then paid for since it's a 2-day event, you said, right?
Yeah, I believe the accommodation should be paid for. Although perhaps if there's someone in the Open Science Working Group, like they can just confirm that as well in the Instagram Live. But yeah, I believe it should be paid for along with the travel costs as well if you're a PhD student.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. So I don't know, can you kind of say how big the event is going to be?
Yeah.
Roughly? How many people you're expecting?
I would anticipate that we're expecting a bit less than 100 people. Like, I think the plan is to have, like, one person per institute. Although maybe if we have more, then we'll probably have to start capping it at a certain level, just because Harnack House has only a capacity for so many people.
Right, right.
But yeah, but it would be great, you know, if we had a great like number of attendees and everything.
Yeah, I think probably. Yeah, is there a question?
I think because we have some delay, like
that could be. Yeah.
Now, I think the colleague from Open Science Group, she said it should be covered by each MPI.
Perfect.
And the travel and accommodation should be paid for by the managing director of each MPI.
Okay, so basically sort it out with your institute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the funding.
All right.
Yeah, so I think what's also really nice about the Open Science Ambassadors Conference, especially having one person from each institute, is kind of like an exchange of what gets done at each individual institute. And that's what I'm actually really curious,
mm-hmm,
to know. What is everyone doing to kind of promote open science? I guess, you know, on a whole wide level, I've mentioned this to you before, the Max Planck Society publishes everything open access. I think,
mm-hmm,
that's a great achievement already for open science.
Yeah.
Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like even, yeah, that's right. I think it's wonderful that that we can publish open access. However, not every, it's also like very costly as well. And I realize that, like, there's a lot of inequality when it comes to different institutes and different countries as well when it comes to publishing open access. And as a result, I think, yeah, just, I think like, yeah, like there are quite a few barriers, I think, to making things open access, but I think that we're in the right direction, though, as a society when it comes to this.
So is there anything that maybe your institute is doing for open science, or maybe one of the other members of the Open Science Working Group that you've helped kind of promote at your institute?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. To be honest, and I think this is also why it's very important to have the Open Science Ambassador as well, is my institute, so I'm at the Max Planck Institute for Security and Privacy, and we were only established in 2019. So as a result, I think like we're still kind of catching up with a lot of like setting up a lot of things, as you've seen when you visited our institute. So I think as a result, like, I'm actually not fully sure of what's happening within other groups and everything. Like, I know for some people, like, they're making an effort to make their code open source, and then with my group, I think we're trying to be open with our methodologies and everything as well. And then, of course, like open access, which is everyone. But other than that, I'm not fully sure about like what's happening within my institute either.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is why the Open Science Ambassadors Conference is great, because this is a good way to exchange ideas also. So if anyone that's listening has any ideas or wants to comment on what their institute is doing, please feel free to do so.
Yes.
And we can have a discussion about it as well.
I think our institute, or I don't know, Keck or Cooling Function, this OCA theoretical calculation software, it's kind of contribute to this open science.
To the open, I think I agree. Yeah, the ORCA, which is a package that we use to do computational chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. So apart from the Open Science Ambassadors Conference that you're organizing, what other events or projects is the Open Science Group working on?
Yeah, so right now, so I should also say we're a group of six people. So there's Ashmi, there's also Pamela and Ivana, Pablo, Anna, and myself. So right now, I think we're focusing, like, I would say like 95% of our energy on just planning this Open Science Ambassadors program. And then we also participated in the Open Science panel, like I mentioned before. And then, yeah, when we have the Open Science Ambassadors, just trying to come up with more resources for open science, for the society. And if anyone on the Instagram live or podcast is interested in joining us, please please feel free. Like, we would love more hands on deck, and yeah, just trying to spread the word of open science.
Definitely. So how much work does it require to join the Open Science Working Group per week on average?
I would say it's relatively relaxed. I guess because the Open Science Ambassadors program is happening in a few months, we are meeting like once a week. So it's like a 1 hour meeting once a week. I would say like maximum 2 to 3 hours a week. And that's kind of like, but perhaps the group coordinators do a lot more with like coordinating with the with the administration. But for me, as someone that joined somewhat recently, it's not like a super large commitment, and I'm still able to get research done and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And how long has the Open Science Group existed for?
So to my knowledge, we have been existing since 2018. As part of the Max Planck PhD net. Basically, we were kind of formed, I believe before us, there was the Open Access Ambassadors. and everything, and then we realized, oh, like, we have to focus on, like, we realized, like, open access is rather widely known, and we have to focus on, like, open science, and, and that's how, like, I believe that's how the working group kind of formed.
Definitely. I think, I agree to the point that, like, open access is well known, but then, the broader field of open science, maybe, like, open methodology, the things that you mentioned at the beginning are maybe a bit less known. So what do you then envision, kind of, like, in 10 years' time, how do you hope the Max Planck Society will have changed or restructured to contribute more to open science?
That's a good question, actually. I would hope that in 10 years, I mean, I think already, like, we are doing decently well, like, we're getting quite a lot of support and everything, but I hope in the future, you know, there's just much more knowledge about other aspects of open science, and much more support as well for these different aspects of open science. And then, I also hope that there are more resources, and then also much more communication between different institutes, and just, like, sharing of knowledge of open science practices and everything.
Yeah.
That's my hope. Perhaps if others in the chats also have something, that'd be great as well.
I think sharing knowledge is extremely important for open science. And I think that's actually something that the Max Planck Society is maybe not doing that much. Like, I think we have so many institutes that are doing top quality research, but the communication between institutes that, you know, are in similar fields is, I think, is lacking. Maybe that's just my experience. Maybe others have a more positive experience there. But I feel like if we wanted to focus more on sharing knowledge, we also need to focus more of our resources on trying to increase the communication between the different institutes.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, our institute's rather new, so we're still kind of getting acquainted with all the resources that are out there, but that I agree. I mean, like, you guys, I think, are the closest in proximity to the MPI for Security and Privacy, but I've never interacted with anyone here until today, and then even, like, I mean, there's also, I think, the institute that's closest to the MPI for Security and Privacy is probably the software systems one.
Right,
but
of course.
Just, at least for my group, there isn't a lot of communication.
Is there not?
Not so much, no.
Okay.
And I guess also, like, physically, we're in different cities. Like, they're in Zabrugen and we're in Bochum, so, yeah.
Do you think that some of the research is overlapping between the two institutes?
I believe there is, yeah. I know that for some other groups, like, there is a lot of collaboration, just because the researchers are in, like, a similar field. But for our group, not so much. And I guess it depends on the different groups. But I definitely agree. Like, I think there has to be a lot more communication between, like, the different institutes. And sometimes it feels like you're just in this isolated little institute until you remember, like, oh, like, there are over 80 of them, like, across Germany and, like, other countries, too. And then, but yeah, I think just, like, yeah, more communication to make it seem like we're, like, one more coherent, one institute, yeah, would be wonderful.
Yeah. What about then for open methodologies? How do you hope that people will start being more open about the research that's being done and how they've done research? Because it's easy to say, you know, we should be more open, but if there's no guidelines that people have to stick to, some people are just not gonna care. So what do you think we should do about it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I believe also, like, open methodology, and I'm sure other aspects of open science, really depends on the field, because when I moved from psychology to human-computer interaction, there was a big change, I think, when it came to methodologies and, like, the openness of this. And I might even say the rigor as well when it comes to planning studies. So psychology is kind of, it's I found in my experience, like, psychology is very good with open methodologies and also, like, pre-registering studies and stuff like that. Like, it's almost, is much more common. And I suppose, like, there's more rigor when it comes to planning experiments and studies. And then when I moved to HCI, which is a much newer field as well, and psychology also benefits from, like, a very long history of just, like, experiments and, like, people who have done a lot of background work. Whereas HCI is a lot more of a newer field, and as a result,
what's HCI?
Oh, yes, sorry. Human-computer interaction.
Thanks.
Yeah,
maybe I'm the only stupid one.
No. Yeah, I should have defined it. But yeah, like when I moved to human computer interaction and like computer science in general, like it's a much more newer field. Yeah. And just reading HCI papers is a lot. It's very different because there aren't as many standards set. So like also like the rate of publication in computer science is like super fast as well compared to psychology. So just I've just noticed like there's I think like there has to be a bit more rigor, I think, in like planning studies and pre-registering and everything. So I guess like that's why I think in the future, I think there just has to be a bit like I guess it depends on the field, really. Like I think psychology is leading it quite well when it comes to open methodology. And then other fields, I think, just have to catch up or like gain similar or just like at least standardize okay. and like come up with. And again, I guess this comes with more history and like knowledge about the field and then just, yeah, like standardize much more.
Yeah.
I have a question. Do you think the open science can reduce the number of papers? Like there are papers
I'll people repeat can, that. It's yes. a good question, yeah.
Yeah.
So Xiron was asking, do you think that open science can help reduce the over-publication crisis that we're currently undergoing? Wow.
I also like that question quite a bit. Yeah, I think, I do believe that could contribute, actually. Like, I was reading recently into, like, this concept of slow science, or I guess more trying to do more intentional science as well. And I think perhaps with open science, like, when you're questioning your research at different stages, it would make you kind of, perhaps it would make you question, like, what is the value of this? And like, is this experiment important enough that I want to go through these steps? And I do think that open science would help contribute to that, because you would have to consider at different stages and also with pre-registering and open methodology as well, you kind of open yourself up to, I guess, scrutiny might not be the right word, but it's like you're making it a bit more public that people can like look and comment on your research study, like, oh, maybe this is kind of strange, or like, why are you doing this? And but also like really good feedback as well, and you can kind of get like feedback like throughout the process, and I think that would help quite a bit with I guess curtailing this over publication crisis.
Yeah, I agree, even though I think that, the Open Science Ambassadors Conference is great for students and early career researchers, and like the working group is as well, but how much discussion is there between the directors about open science? Because in the end, you know, who determines what projects you're doing, and also the way you report your data, open methodology, it all comes down to the director level as well,
mm-hmm.
or the group leaders in this case, so I don't know if this is, you know, something that the PhD net should really be worrying about or not, but like, are you guys doing anything about it? Do you know of anything that's being done? Are they talking about open science as well?
Yeah, so you make a good point that it is, ultimately it is like the people that are higher up, like our supervisors and directors. Currently at this point, we're not exactly communicating with them. However, I do think to the future, like hopefully, you know, we'll be the new supervisors and all, and then hopefully we are the ones that can help set standard, or like I guess like different standards if we don't have good standards right now, and then be the ones like, hey, like let's have more open science practices in the future. And
I mean, we'll see. It's always, I think, difficult to get the communication going, but and you feel like there's a lot of support from the Max Planck Society at the top level to help you guys out. It seemed like it from what you mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, I would say it seems like we have quite a bit of support right now, and hopefully we have enough people that are interested in attending the Open Science Ambassadors program to kind of get this program like running again.
Yeah. So apart from now this podcast, and I guess the information is on your website,
mm-hmm.
are there any other ways in which you're planning to advertise the event?
Yes, I think it's also through the PhD reps as well at different institutes, trying to get them to just hype people up and just share information about that. And then we also contacted the different directors as well to just try to encourage them to get one person to come to each institute. So I think perhaps if we have someone with like more authority as well, then they can convince people to show up.
Yes, I definitely agree. But directors are not going to be present at the event.
No, they're not.
Are they allowed to be there or no?
I don't, that's a good question, actually. Perhaps if there's someone in the open science working group that's there that can answer, that would be wonderful. But yeah, currently we don't have, we're not planning, I guess, for directors to show up. Although I do think we might have some faculty or researchers that are going to be taking part or like helping lead workshops and discussions as well. So yeah,
can you reveal of any like the talks or the workshops who are going to be led by?
I can't remember any on the top of my head, but it is on the website. Like, we have like a list of confirmed speakers and everything, and we have people from different institutes and like even different MPIs as well. And yeah.
Okay, cool.
Question. Since you mentioned about the public's peer review, what can you do like from the Max Planck Society level or from the Open Science Working Group level? How can you make this true to really publish peer review? It will actually good work, then their shitty sentence will show up.
I don't know. Should I repeat it? I don't know if people can hear that, because I guess you are quite close. But yeah, so it would just be about the peer review system. How can we make sure that it's actually peer reviewed?
Yeah, that is a good point. I'm not so sure what it's like. So for my field, we publish in conferences, and like I know that when it comes to open peer review, it wouldn't come at the, for us, it wouldn't be at the institutional level. It would be more at the conference level. Like, I know that there's some conferences that are making their peer reviews public, like after they're published and everything, so that people can see like, oh, did they actually, to see what reviewers were commenting on and stuff like that. So from my knowledge, at least for computer science, it's much more at the like conference or like venue level, and like whether they choose to have open peer review or not. Sadly, I don't know too much about the societal level.
Okay.
I think they answered the question you just said, if the directors are allowed to join.
Yes.
And they said if they're willing to come, they're welcome.
If they're willing to come, they're welcome to come, the director.
But the program is catered for earlier career researchers, and the vice presidential panel on open science will be part of the event. The panel is formed by the general administration, group leaders, directors, etc. One major highlight of program is a talk by UNESCO. I don't know what is it. For their breakthrough.
By UNESCO. Okay, so one of the talks will be given by UNESCO.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah, we're very excited for that, because UNESCO's done a lot of work with open science, and we're having someone.
Oh, really?
That's,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
doesn't surprise me, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's very exciting, and we'll have like different perspectives, and we also, I believe, have like some an open science activist as well, or like she kind of revealed, or it'll be on the website, but yeah, she's done quite a bit of work with like advocacy for open science, and yeah, so we're very excited to have some of our speakers and workshop people that are planning the workshops.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. What got you into open science?
So I think it's actually from my third year psychology class. So psychology has had a very big problem with the replication crisis, and like there were a lot of there's been a lot of, I guess, scandals that have happened with psychology. And I remember in my third year statistics class, our professor was very big about basically that class, like, we didn't actually learn statistics. It was more about like we learned about p-hacking and like don't do this stuff.
Right.
And then I was very like, I was fascinated that like this type of stuff could happen, and I guess it led me down this rabbit hole of kind of like this scientific existential crisis, almost like, oh, is the stuff I'm like reading real, and like is the stuff I'm doing or I guess like in the future real, and I guess trying to, yeah, like I just want to be as good of a scientist as I can, I guess, and trying to learn about like science, not only for my field, but I guess like just trying to make it like as like transparent and replicable as possible, I guess. And it's just I'm just interested in that, I guess. Yeah.
And ever since you've joined the Open Science Working Group, do you think you've changed your perspective on the way you approach projects or the way you write a paper, for example?
Yes, I think it has. I think although our working group discussions aren't about like, oh, let's do this in our research, it's much more, I would say, administrative with like the working with the Open Science Ambassadors program. I think it's made me consider a bit more about, I guess first off, it's like I don't want to be like a hypocrite either, and like I'm just like, oh, okay, actually I don't want to talk about the methodology in our paper and everything. But also I think it's just made me a bit more aware of different resources that exist when it comes to open science. And like, so for example, like I didn't know about UNESCO's website, and they have a lot of information about open science.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so I learned about that, and then just, just getting in contact. Like, I also didn't know about some of the Max Planck Society resources, like the Max Planck Digital Library, for instance.
What's the Max Planck Digital Library?
That's a good question. I believe it's actually... It's more of like, actually, I have notes about this. Basically, it's like helping to manage the flow of information within the Max Planck Society. And I believe, I also did some like research on this too, because I wasn't fully sure. But yeah, it's like one of the three IT services within the Max Planck Society, or like three core IT services. And it basically allows researchers to access and view these like scientific articles. And it goes back to like the open access point as well.
And everyone has access to it.
I believe, yeah. Yeah, I think you just have to, I think it's like through your institute, I guess, or like through max.npg.de.
Okay. Yeah, Max page.
Yeah, I believe it's like that.
Okay, wait, so it just helps you find papers
or have access
to scientific journals.
I believe, yeah, that is my impression. Okay. Although someone please correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't...
I think they also paid money to this pray... like you publish your paper before you on the website.
Okay.
Pray, what's the name of this kind of website?
Preprint.
Yeah, preprint website.
Yes.
One of them, Max Planck Digital Library, even paid for them.
Oh,
Someone
really?
Sponsored.
Okay. I guess they do a lot. I mean, I also didn't really, I don't know too much about them. So maybe this is a topic that we should have another podcast about, if anyone wants to have a podcast about the Max Planck Digital Library.
Yeah. Paulina asked, what are the other sources except the UNESCO website can you recommend to read about?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so wait, let me just repeat it so that everyone hears.
Yeah.
So we got a question. What are other websites other than UNESCO where you can find more information about open science?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think off the top of my head other resources that I found.
The best would be to join the Open Science Working Group,
yeah.
I would say.
That is
I'm
also
joking.
True. Yeah, and the Open Science Ambassadors as well. I think the other one, too, was trying to talk with... Apparently, I found out, like, every MPI, I think, has an ombudsperson or something.
Yes, that's true.
So, like, I think just getting in contact with them, and, like, this also goes for, like, conflicts with open science right now. As well, like, if you feel like there's something, like, shady happening, then you can communicate with them, which I didn't know about, actually, until somewhat recently. So I know that there's that. And then trying to think of other resources that I went to.
Yeah, I think the Ashmi said Open Access Network, and Pamiku said Foster Open Science.
Open Access Network.
Yes, and check out the Open Science website for lots of various resources.
That is also true.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the Open Science website is a good place to go. And maybe also this will encourage you to maybe post more there so that, you know, your website could also be the key point where people can find a lot of information about open science.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Are there any other questions? I can't believe we've been going for quite long.
Yeah.
Already. Wow.
Yes, I feel
like it's a very, very hot topic, and I think a lot of people don't really know, like, what's, like, everyone's slightly aware of open science, but not really what to do, where to find information,
exactly
what's getting done within the Max Planck Society. So I think the Open Science Ambassador Conference will be a great way to kind of stimulate discussion and bring knowledge back to the individual institutes and then work from there. So can you remind us again when and where the Open Science Ambassador Conference is?
Yes, so it is September 19th and 20th, and it's going to take place in Harnack House in Berlin. September 19th and 20th.
And registration deadline is when?
Oh, I'm not so sure about the registration deadline, but I would say the earlier the better.
Okay.
So, like, yeah.
And I'm sure it will say it also on the website.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
When the registration deadline is.
Yeah.
Are there any, when you register, is it just your name, or are there any other requirements?
So you also have to give your institute as well, because we just want to know that the institutes are well represented, and then also, we also just want to know, whether you'll have funding as well from your institute or group as well to attend. And then also just dietary stuff too, because we're going to provide food. So we want to know like if you have any allergies or dietary restrictions.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone wants to join the Open Science Working Group, who should they contact?
So if you just go on the Open Science website, we also have our contact email, and that will like contact us directly. So then you can just email us, and then we'll be happy to have you join like our next meeting, and yeah, just like keep you in the loop.
Yeah, that's cool, and mm-hmm. I think that's also a great way to get information. Just by joining the group, you'll automatically learn a lot more about open science. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Lynn, so much for mm-hmm. taking the time to talk to me and to all of us about open science. And mm-hmm. hopefully you'll see a lot of people at the Open Science Ambassador Conference. And I wish you the best of luck with organizing it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. And yeah, just like giving us a place to spread our word and everything.
Yeah. So also to everyone listening, spread the word. Bye.
Bye.
That's it. Thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to learn more about the Open Science Working Group and the Open Science Ambassadors Conference, you can visit their website, which you will find in the description below. And if you like our podcasts, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram page. Thanks again for listening. Bye. Offspring Magazine, the podcast, is brought to you by the Max Planck PhDNet Science Communication Group, known as the Offspring Magazine. The intro-outro music is composed by Srinath Rankumar, and the pre-intro jingle is composed by Gustavo Carrizo. If you have any feedback, comments, or suggestions, please feel free to write us at offspring.podcast@phdnet.mpg.de. Until next week, stay safe, stay healthy. Bye!